Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when it comes to other languages and other tongues, we have limitations when it comes to understanding those things. God's language, however, has none of that. Love is God's language. It always surprises me when I stop to think that for God, English is a foreign language. English is not God's preferred method of communication. Now, this hits home for me when I hear Asian Christians praying or worshiping. I say Asian because when I hear Vietnamese, for instance, being spoken, I simply have no point of reference that gives me any hope at all of understanding what I'm hearing. Now, true, it may sound beautiful, but it has no meaning for me because I lack any comprehension of what I'm hearing. But for God, when I realize that for God, what is being spoken or sung is beautiful and has meaning, well, that leaves me overwhelmed. Because in my sinful and self-focused ways, when I realize that, I realize just how far I am, how far separated I am from God. God's love language, however, is both action and speech. There's a saying that goes, there's no shortage of good ideas, only a shortage of people who are willing to turn the idea into action. That's as true in churches as it is in any group. Good ideas need someone willing to invest labor, effort, and energy in them in order to make those good ideas happen. Love is an idea that requires a person's effort if love is to be made clear. And effort is the key method for communicating love. God is the one whose effort has shown us the language of love is universally understood one way, through action. God does. God does. And in doing, God communicates. Now, God has also chosen to use language and speech in addition to action, so that we understand the meaning to what God does. God can use any tongue. He can use any language to deliver the understanding that His actions are His language of love. That's why Bible translators do such amazing and important work. They're helping to put what God has revealed through the Greek, and you see up there, there's Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. What they have done, what God has done through the Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic of His Word, about the meaning of His work, of God's work, His action. The translators put God's Word of meaning into dialects for people that otherwise would miss out on what? On understanding the love God shows through His action. When God poured out on this day, when He poured out the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, on the disciples, there were three things that happened that distinguished the action. There was the sound, like a mighty or rushing wind. There were the flames that were like fire on their heads. And then the disciples' ability to speak in foreign but known languages. Now, the first action was the great sound of something, it says, like a mighty wind. Notice it doesn't say that it was a wind, but the sound. The sound was like that of a violent wind. And with what has happened around here, part of those are my house. We don't need anyone to tell us what a violent wind sounds like. The sound of a violent wind is what Luke uses to describe the sound of the Holy Spirit's arrival on Pentecost. And that sound was not confined, by the way, to the house that they were in either. Verses 5 and 6 say, read this with me. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Notice the verbs here. Notice what happens. The crowd came to the house from all over Jerusalem. This wasn't something that took place in secret. This sound that God sent was a citywide event. The sound announced that something was changing in Jerusalem. This sound was God acting. Sound carries a message, and sometimes it needs to be correctly interpreted. It needs to be correctly interpreted, sound does, in order to get the message and understand what is meant. Now, going back a little bit in your history, back to 1675, that was 9 years after the terrible London fire. The architect, Sir Christopher Wren, in 1675, laid the first foundation stone in what was to be his greatest work, the building of St. Paul's Cathedral. It took him 35 long years to complete the task. And when he was done, he waited breathlessly for the reaction of Her Majesty Queen Anne. Now, after being shown throughout the structure, she summed up her feelings for the architecture with these words. It is awful. It is amusing. It is artificial. Now imagine how you would feel if the words like these were used to describe the work of your life. Sir Christopher Wren, however, his biographer said that on hearing these words, Wren heaved a sigh of relief and bowed gratefully before his sovereign. Well, why would that be? The explanation is simple. In 1710, the word awful meant awe-inspiring. The word amusing meant amazing. And the word artificial meant artistic. What to our ears sounds like devastating criticism were at that time words of praise. The sound of the words, properly interpreted, brought great relief and joy at the work that Christopher Wren had done. And the sound of the rushing wind in Acts today was a sound that called people to come and see the work God was doing. Now, the next action in today's reading described by Luke was the arrival of what appeared to be tongues of fire. Now, what does this take us back to? It takes us back to Moses, doesn't it? We think of Moses when we think of these flames that appeared on the disciples' heads, and that's because of the burning bush that Moses saw. That bush, like with the people of Jerusalem and the rushing of the wind in today's Acts passage, that bush caught Moses' attention. And then, after that, God spoke to Moses through the flames. First, the action of the burning bush that was not consumed, and then God spoke. Today, in Acts, it was first the sound that got their attention, and then the fire of the Holy Spirit that was poured out. There's a sort of symmetry to this from the Old and the New Testament, isn't there? While what God did in Acts was a new thing, He'd before done something that was a foreshadowing of this action. And looking in the Old Testament reading from today, we see that the Lord took some of the Spirit that He had put on Moses and set it on the 70 elders of Israel. Now, this also was a foreshadowing of what happened today. In fact, Moses himself wished that the Lord would put his Spirit on all his people. And in Acts, the Spirit was poured out on all the assembled disciples. With Moses in the Old Testament, God acted and portioned out the Spirit to the elders. So, while, again, like we just said, while God is doing a new thing in Acts, we have seen God act this way before. Now, God has the attention of the people in the house and the people in Jerusalem. He wants people to see what? To see His love. And that means He has to get our attention. By using sound and sight, He prepares us to hear His words. And in His action, He focuses our attention on the words that He gives to the disciples. And those words are amusing. No, they're amazing. They're amazing to those gathered together by the sound. We're told that they hear of the works of God. They hear explained the actions that God did proclaimed in their own native languages. Now, almost all the known world at the time is represented in that list that Lou read to us from Acts. And all those various languages are being used to tell one thing: God's actions. God's actions. Now, those tongues of fire on the disciples' heads give way to the very tongues of the disciples themselves, speaking in the tongues that these gathered people each would understand. But none of them, no one gathered there, has a clue as to how these backwater Galilean fishermen can be doing this. They think they're drunk. The point is that God wants what He has done in this world to be made known to this world. God wants what He has done in this world to be made known to this world. And He will use those willing to give voice to His actions. Read verse 11 with me, please. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. God is not a God of confusion or disarray. He orchestrated all that took place on that Pentecost day for the purpose of declaring the wonders of His love. He still does that today. He does that through us, His flawed human followers. Yes, we sometimes stumble and get in our own way, but God still will have His message told. His action of love in sending Jesus to earth to die on the cross for the sins of all and to rise triumphant from the grave, that action must be given voice in order to be understood. And God made it possible in a way that was unique on that Pentecost Sunday. But even that, even what God did on that Pentecost then, is a foreshadowing, isn't it? Remember, we talked about the work the Bible translators do. They are simply carrying on the work begun on that Pentecost day. And what they do for those who speak in languages that are foreign to us, we also, you and I, are also to do for those around us. Now, we have it relatively easy, don't we? Compared to them, anyway. For us, we have only to open our mouths, and most of the people around us, hopefully, will understand our language. The thing for us, then, is to use that common language to do what the disciples did on that day in foreign languages or foreign tongues. And that is to do what? To declare the wondrous work of God in Christ Jesus coming to earth to be crucified and then rising to new life again. It's like what we do with the preschool. When we teach the children who come here, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's us telling what God has done. Right? That's what we do. God has done the work, and God has demonstrated His love. He's been consistent throughout the ages in His action and in His message in Scripture. As we started out talking about, God worked, God acted through Moses, and what He did through Moses foreshadowed things that were to come. God then worked through Jesus to fulfill all that Moses and the prophets had said and foreshadowed regarding Jesus' ministry. And especially that by His dying on the cross and His resurrection and finally His ascension back to heaven, nothing more needs to be done. God has done all that is required to overcome sin, and nothing more can be done to accomplish what only He could do in the first place. The righteousness of Christ given to us, and again, given to us, that's God's action in showing His love. The righteousness of Christ given to us by grace through faith has restored our broken relationship with God. We now have the joy of hearing, believing, and telling of the wonders of God. What else can we do but follow after the disciples who have foreshadowed us? When you, in your travels, in your week, or through your days, when you hear someone around you speak in a foreign language to you, be reminded of Pentecost. Let your hearing those languages be the sound of a mighty wind that draws your attention to what God, in His love, has done for you. Remember that for Him, no speech is foreign, and that He wants all people to understand His works and His wonders of love. What God did through His disciples is a foreshadowing of what you and I can do. Like Queen Anne, we simply need to be ready to give voice to things that we see God doing around us in our culture and speak the words to those around us that need to be heard. In our mission statement, we say that we are sharing the gospel. What is that? What is that but declaring the wonders of God just as the disciples did? We continue in their footsteps as they continued in the footsteps of Moses. We tell others of God's language of love expressed through Jesus Christ and His acts of triumph, which grant to us and to all who believe one thing, His grace. What a great thing we get to do, to speak God's language of love. And how do we do it? What do we do here? We are hearing, sharing, and living the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen.